32. Everybody saw them flying down to the ring of grand buildings that surrounded the central park of Atlantis and served as the sorceress's seat of power. The sorceresses seldom flew anywhere, deeming it far too ostentatious, so the sight of Martin and Gwen streaking purposefully across the vast, empty bowl of the city's skyline would have gotten a great deal of attention even if Martin hadn't been carrying Ampix, who was shouting with glee at the top of his lungs. They slowed, gliding through the entrance doors and finally landing in the grand space where the summit meetings were held. The tables and chairs had all been replaced, but without Brit the Elder there to assist with the cleanup, the two statues that had fallen were still represented by the shattered stumps and empty plinths where they had stood. If you knew where to look, and Martin did, you could still see the streaks where Philip's shoes had slid across the smooth white floor.
"Hard to believe it only happened a couple of hours ago,"
Gwen said. Martin looked at the blank patch of wall that had swallowed Brit and Philip.
"Yeah. Wherever they are, I hope they're all right."
He turned to Gwen.
"So you say Ida has an office in this building?"
"Yes, there are offices for all three members of the council. Brit the Younger never uses hers."
"Why not?"
"It has an adjoining door with Brit the Elder's office, and the Elder doesn't see a reason to knock, since they're the same person."
"Wow,"
Martin said.
"I'm surprised the Younger didn't try to kill the Elder before now."
"We used to joke about that. Even if the Younger did try to kill the Elder would remember making the attempt and avoid it."
Martin said,
"Oh, you could go crazy thinking about this."
Gwen glanced ruefully at the empty base of a broken statue and said,
"Maybe someone did."
She shuddered.
"Come on, the offices are this way."
She and Martin took several steps before they realized that Ampix was not following them. Martin asked,
"You coming?"
"Should I?"
Ampix asked.
"Sure, why wouldn't you? I mean, you locals like the Brits, right? If I'm right, you don't want to be ruled over by someone who sees power this way. And besides, as president, she's your elected leader. I figure there should be a representative of her non-magical voters."
Ampix looked confused. Gwen cleared her throat and mumbled something that Martin couldn't make out.
"I'm sorry, what was that?"
he asked. Gwen repeated, only slightly louder.
Non-sorceresses don't get a vote."
"What? That's most of the city! A huge majority, and you're telling me that they don't get a say in who's president?"
"Well, the Council of Three only really rules the sorceresses."
"Then who runs the city?"
"The sorceresses?"
Martin gestured toward Ampix, using him as a stand-in for all non-magical Atlanteans.
"So they don't get to pick their leaders, or the leader of their leaders?"
Gwen said,
"I told you, there are things about this city I'm not proud of. I've only been here 2 years. Brit says that they'll get the right to vote eventually, she just hasn't told us when."
"Well, I'm sure Ampix and his friends find that very reassuring. Don't you, Ampix?"
Martin turned to Ampix, looking for support. Ampix said,
"Sure. I mean, I guess. It depends. What's a vote?"
With that argument ended in a three-way tie for loser, they made their way to a side exit, through a labyrinth of beautifully decorated hallways, and eventually to a door marked Ida Cook, President. Martin said,
"Let me do the talking."
Gwen replied,
"She knows me, Martin. She'll be much more comfortable if I ask the questions."
Martin said,
"Which is exactly why I'll do the talking. Trust me, I know how to handle this. I've been interrogated by the best."
Gwen knew that Martin had once been captured by federal agents. She didn't know that when he referred to being interrogated by the best, he was talking about his mother. Martin looked at the closed door and asked,
"Does she have a secretary or anything?"
"No, we like to keep things informal."
Martin knocked on the door, three forceful blows, then waited. After a moment, the door opened. Martin was grateful that Ida herself answered the door, not her violence-prone bodyguard, Nilo. She looked tired and concerned, but not overtly so, as if something awful and upsetting had happened, but not to her, which was the case. Ida smiled and said,
"Oh, Gwen and Martin, isn't it? Hello. I don't believe I've met your servant."
Martin stared at her silently, radiating anger. Ida narrowed her eyes and asked Martin,
"How can I help you?"
Martin continued staring directly into her eyes. Gwen and Ampix fidgeted uncomfortably. All friendliness drained from Ida's demeanor. She glared at Martin and spat her words.
Do you have something you want to say, Martin?
Gwen started to speak in a conciliatory tone, but Martin raised one finger and glared over his shoulder at her. He turned his attention back to Ida with one raised eyebrow and a grim smile on his lips. Ida's shoulders slumped inward slightly, and she seemed to age 10 years in a single second. She sighed and said,
Come in. I'll try to explain.
As he entered, Martin looked at Ida with cold contempt. Gwen and Ampix tried not to look amazed. Ida closed the door behind them. Her office was, like almost every other room Martin had seen in Atlantis, beautiful and serene, made up of clean lines and uncluttered, white, polished surfaces. The room was dominated by a large desk that looked exactly like the desk of the President of the United States, only smaller and made of milky white glass. Ida walked around the perimeter of the room and sat behind her desk. There were chairs and a couch, but Martin chose to remain standing. Gwen and Ampix followed his lead. Martin sneered at Ida and asked,
Why?
Ida slumped in defeat.
He wanted it so badly.
Gwen asked,
Who wanted what?
Ida furrowed her brow, looking at Gwen. Then she looked back to Martin and asked,
You didn't tell her?
Martin smiled. Shock registered on Ida's face as she said,
You didn't know?
Her eyes darted across the faces of her three visitors. Then she said,
Nothing! I'll say nothing further! Get out of my office!
Martin turned to Gwen and Ampix and said,
Nilo. Nilo wanted powers.
Her brief hopes dashed. Ida looked even more defeated. Gwen was stunned.
Ida, why did you do it? It started innocently, Gwen. I love him, and I couldn't bear the idea of him getting old and dying, not if I could prevent it.
Ampix said,
You can prevent that?
Gwen turned to him and said,
We've been through that.
Ida smiled at Gwen, pointed to Ampix, and said,
Oh, you and him?
Martin said, We've been through that, too.
Ida shrugged and continued.
So I fixed that for him, then I told him what I'd done, you know, as a gift for him.
That's some gift, Martin said.
I know, right?
She turned back to Gwen.
But you know how men are. They always want more. Anything he saw one of us do, he wanted to do it too. I set him up with kind of a simplified baby set of powers. I made him impervious to physical damage. He can teleport within Atlantis city limits.
Of course, Martin said. That's how he got up to where I was so fast. You know, when we were chasing the arrow guy?
Gwen shook her head.
No, he sprinted up the stairs. I saw him do it.
Ida got a dreamy look in her eye.
Yes, he just doesn't get tired. He can go like that for hours.
Thanks to you, I suppose,
Gwen said. Ida smiled.
No, that's all him. He's always been able to do that.
Gwen and Martin rolled their eyes. Ampix smirked and nodded approvingly. Gwen was at a loss.
Ida, I can understand wanting to keep him alive and giving him a few small powers was wrong, but understandable, I guess. Why would you ever give him the power to blow things up and enchant arrows?
Ida shook her head.
I didn't.
Gwen looked relieved. Martin looked concerned. Ida continued.
Not really. Not at first.
Gwen looked concerned. Martin looked relieved. Ida waved her hand dismissively.
I made him the arrows and some little lumps of clear putty that explode with the force of a pound of C4, but the damage is contained and shaped into a wedge so we could direct where the statues would fall, like a lumberjack chopping down a tree. I set it up so he could trigger them, though. Makes him feel powerful.
So you helped him?
Gwen asked.
Well, yeah. Gwen, he was just so cute. He was making all these plans and figuring out how to best use the arrows and the explosives.
Ida smiled at the memory of it.
He thought of the thing with the submersible himself. Of course, he thought they'd just drown. He didn't know about the water pressure, but still. Oh, it was sweet. He just wanted me to be in charge. And it was nice to see him getting so excited about a project of his own.
Gwen shouted,
"His project was murdering Brit!" "Which isn't possible, Gwen. I mean, obviously, if Brit the Younger dies, then Brit the Elder never existed, and the whole city would disappear, which it hasn't. So clearly, she's still alive. Somewhere."
"Then where is she, Ida? Either of her, or Philip, for that matter?"
Ida's smile faded slightly. She said,
"Oh, I'm sure they're all right."
"Where are they?"
Ida laughed at how silly Gwen was being. Gwen did not laugh.
"Where, Ida?"
Ida's laugh died horribly. She shrugged and said,
"I don't know."
Martin asked,
"What do you mean you don't know?"
"I gave Nilo the ability to make his own portals. Setting up the arrows was such a pain. He was very particular about getting the angles just right so that the arrows would hit Brit exactly where he wanted them to. Oh, it turned into such a hassle. I just gave him portals and told him to go nuts."
Ida paused for a moment, then said,
"That sounded really terrible, didn't it?"
Gwen, Martin, and Ambix all agreed that it did. Ida held up her hands and whined,
"She's fine! Lighten up, okay? She's clearly fine! We wouldn't still be here talking if she weren't."
Martin asked,
"What about Philip?"
Ida replied,
"What?"
"What about Philip?"
Martin shouted.
"Wherever your boyfriend sent Brit the Younger, Philip went there with her. And while the city still being here might prove that she didn't die, which is a very different thing than being fine, by the way, it doesn't prove anything as far as Philip's safety is concerned."
Ida said,
"Huh. I hadn't thought of that. Well, that's a shame, but really, it is Philip's own fault. I mean, if he hadn't gotten involved in the first place..."
"By trying to save Brit's life?"
Martin interrupted. Ida said,
"Yeah. Ooh, that sounded really terrible again, didn't it?"
Again, Gwen, Martin, and Ambix agreed.
"So, you don't know where Nilo sent them?"
Gwen asked, clearly out of patience.
"No."
"Then we'll have to ask Nilo. I don't suppose you know where he is?"
"Yeah,"
Ida said.
"He's in there."
She pointed to a small door behind her desk. Martin and Gwen looked at the door, then at each other, then at Ida. Gwen asked,
"Has he been listening this whole time?"
Ida laughed.
"No, he's asleep. After the meeting, he dragged me straight back here to celebrate. After that, he fell asleep, and he's been out ever since. Anyway, even if he was awake, he wouldn't have heard us. When I moved a bed in there, I also made the room soundproof."
Ida arched her eyebrows and stuck her tongue out mischievously. Martin feared that Ambix would have a sore neck later from all these approving nods. Ida quickly saw that neither Martin nor Gwen was sharing her delight at how naughty she was being. Her expression darkened.
"I suppose you want me to go get him,"
Gwen said.
"Yes."
Ida got up from her seat and opened the small door behind her desk. In a kittenish voice that, under these circumstances, sickened Martin, Ida said,
"Honey, you awake?"
In the distance, they heard a faint but very deep groan. Ida turned, gave Gwen a look that clearly meant, "I'll be back in a minute," then went into the room, leaving the door slightly ajar behind her. They couldn't make out words, but they heard Ida mutter something in her softest, sweetest tone. They heard another deep groan, followed by a mumble and a laugh. Gwen said,
"I can't believe this. How could she be so stupid?"
Martin shrugged and said,
"Love does that to people."
Gwen said,
"Shut up."
Martin said,
"No, Gwen, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about you."
Gwen said,
"Good."
After thinking for a moment, Martin said,
"Of course, the fact that you thought I was, clearly..."
Gwen said,
"Shut up."
The tone of the nothings being whispered in the other room had become noticeably less sweet. Ida sounded insistent. Nilo sounded defiant. Finally, Ida appeared at the door and said,
"He'll be right out."
Nilo shuffled into the office, looking surly. His demeanor clearly showed that he had simply dragged himself out of bed, pulled on his uniform, and come straight out to face his accusers. Gwen took the lead.
Okay, Nilo, what have you done?
Nilo laughed.
You don't understand? No, of course you don't. You sorceresses, you all think you're smarter than everyone. But I've shown you all!
He looked at Gwen and Martin with a mixture of amusement and disgust. He shook his head and said,
Isn't it obvious? Can't you see what I've done? Do you really need me to explain it to you?
Uh-oh, Martin thought. I don't like this. Have we underestimated him? Has he been playing Ida all along?
Nilo said,
I have killed Britt the Younger.
That answers that question, Martin thought.
Ida said,
Dear, you haven't killed Britt.
Yes, I have, Nilo said. I killed her!
Ida said,
Okay, you're right, you killed her.
Nilo turned back to Gwen, feeling vindicated. Ida smiled at Gwen and winked.
Why?
Gwen asked.
Why did you do it, Nilo?
Nilo shook his head. He looked amazed at Gwen's stupidity. He turned to Ida, who play-acted his amazement back to him. He turned back to Gwen and replied,
Because I wanted her dead, obviously.
Ida looked as if she might laugh, but she peered up at Nilo with adoration in her eyes, like a pet owner watching her clumsy puppy trip and fall.
Well, I knew that, Gwen said.
Sure you did,
Nilo said.
That's why you had to ask, because you knew.
Clearly, if you were trying to kill her, you wanted her dead. That much is obvious.
Obvious now that I've told you. I suppose you also realize that killing Britt the Younger would also kill Britt the Elder. And with both of them gone, Ida is in charge.
Well, of course,
Gwen sputtered.
But that can't work.
It has worked. And anyway, if you already knew everything, why didn't you stop me?
Well,
Gwen said,
we didn't know it was you doing it.
Nilo laughed contemptuously.
You're making yourself look dumb. If you didn't know I was the one doing it, then you can't have known what my plan was because you didn't know it was my plan. Think!
He pointed at his head to drive his point home. Martin felt for Gwen. She was arguing with a dumb person, which never works. For a smart person to argue with a dumb person, they have to dumb down their logic on the fly, while the dumb person thinks in dumb logic naturally, giving them an advantage. Martin decided to end Gwen's suffering. Martin stepped forward and asked,
Where'd you send them?
Nilo asked,
What does it matter? You're all so much smarter than I am, and you say my plan can't have worked, so it can't matter where I sent them, can it?
Martin tightened his grip on his staff, gritted his teeth, and grunted,
Where?
Nilo laughed, clearly unconcerned.
Okay, big man, don't get upset. I'll tell you. I had two ideas. I thought I might just throw them high up in the sky over the city and then watch them fall to their deaths.
Gwen said,
That wouldn't have worked.
Could have,
Nilo replied.
They can fly,
Gwen persisted. Nilo shrugged.
So you say.
You've seen Philip fly with your own eyes,
Gwen yelled.
Eh,
Nilo said.
I don't know. Maybe he needs to run real fast to take off. Maybe he was being held up by very thin ropes. Point is, it was worth a shot.
No, it wasn't.
Nilo smiled.
Well, luckily, that's not what I did.
Gwen shouted,
Obviously!
Martin put a calming hand on her shoulder and repeated his last question.
Where did you send them, Nilo?
Nilo said,
The middle of the ocean.
The middle of the ocean,
Martin repeated.
Yes. I picked a spot far away from any land and placed the exit portal just above the surface of the sea. As soon as your friends disappeared into the wall, they reappeared out among the waves and immediately sank into the sea and drowned.
Ampix muttered,
A terrible way to go.
Martin, Gwen, and Ida all knew that while wizards, sorcerers, and all other magic users were impervious to physical damage, disease, and aging, they could still die of thirst, starve, suffocate, or drown. Martin looked at Ida. She didn't look angry or horrified. She had a slightly disgusted look on her face, like a cat owner who has found her beloved kitten playing with a freshly killed mouse. Quietly, Gwen said,
"That wouldn't work."
Nilo asked,
"What?"
Gwen said,
"That would never work. You know that can't work. You blew up Brit's sphere when they were hundreds of feet beneath the surface and it didn't kill them. Why should dropping Brit in from the surface be any different?"
Nilo puffed up his chest, raised his nose in the air, and revealed his master stroke.
"Because those arrows that were stuck to her were tied to a very heavy rock."
"But she has magic!"
Gwen was yelling again.
"Both she and Philip can do magic!"
Martin leaned toward Gwen, and in a quiet voice said,
"Philip couldn't. He dropped his staff before he went through, remember? Without that, the shell wouldn't recognize him."
Martin didn't add that Philip very well could have drowned. He didn't have to. Gwen said,
"Well, that's always been the shell's main design flaw. Brit doesn't use the shell anyway. She uses the Atlantis interface."
"Yeah,"
Martin said.
"You used that flicking through options with your hand, right? Her arm was gummed up by the arrows."
Gwen said,
"You can use either hand, Martin."
Martin said,
"Philip was holding on to the other hand."
It was too terrible to think about, but also too terrible to put out of their minds. Whether out of love or panic or just plain stubbornness, it was possible that in trying to save Brit's life, Philip had killed them both. Martin noted that for the first time, Ida looked genuinely concerned.
"Well, there you have it," he said. "Through a combination of dumb luck and just dumb."
Martin trailed off, looking at Nilo, trying to find the perfect word. Finally, he continued.
Dumbness? Your boy toy may have killed two people, and you helped. What are you going to do about it?
Ida thought for a moment, then said,
"That is the question, isn't it? I guess I do have to decide how we proceed from here, since I am the only surviving member of the Council of Three."
Gwen said,
"Ida, you don't honestly think that means anything, do you? The Council only existed because Brit the Elder wanted it to, and even if it did mean anything at all..."
"True," Ida said, "but Brit the Elder is gone, and so is Brit the Younger, and I was popular enough to get unanimously voted president. I think there's a good chance the sorceresses will follow me now that there's nobody else to follow."
Gwen asked,
"But what's the point? We already have all the food, money, and security we could ever want. Why do you have to be in charge?"
Ida laughed.
"So that everybody'll do what I say, hang on my every word, and look up to me, like they do to Brit the Elder. Being president has given me a taste. Turns out I like it. I didn't plan any of this, but I think we might be able to make the best of it."
Gwen said,
"There's no way the sorceresses are going to let you stay president once they know what you two have done."
Ida said,
"I suppose that's true."
Nilo stretched himself to his full height. He glared down at Martin and said,
"I'll just have to stop you from telling anyone."
Martin glared back and said,
"Try and stop us."
Nilo cracked his knuckles, then quickly swiped his finger through the air and poked it forward, making a selection. The floor beneath Martin, Gwen, and Ampix shattered with the sound of several champagne corks popping. The three of them fell several inches into the portal that Nilo had set up just beneath the floor in case of a situation like this.